their service. And we want to turn to Malachi this evening, and I'm sure everyone can say with myself, really enjoyed the Word of God this morning with Brother Larry. It really was a blessing, and we appreciate it. Thing about God, that God has never changed. Amen. Thank God He's never changed. You know, as I didn't put any title up for what I was going to preach tonight, because all week I've been praying and thinking what I could preach, and when you're preaching for quite some time, what do you preach is new, and nobody does preach anything that's new. People think they do, but they don't actually preach anything that's new at all, because the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. But what I try and do is try and find the mind of God, what maybe would help someone. And tonight I want to preach on God resuming full and total responsibility at Calvary. And I know I've preached it before, and I think the first time I preached it was about 2004. But I just felt led to bring this tonight, and I know we can maybe take the same scriptures, but it can come over different. Let's stand while we read Malachi 3, verse 6. Then I want to read one verse from Jeremiah 1, verse 12 as well. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. He's not I was, he's I am. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Then if we could go till Jeremiah, and tonight I've no scriptures written here. I'm going to turn to them myself to slow me down a bit. You know, that's one thing I'm learning when Brother Larry preaches. And if you're a preacher in here, it's one good thing to learn. He takes his time. Prominent with the words, slow, you can hear it. And sometimes you can be preaching and you're too quick, running or anything, I suppose. But Jeremiah 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I, not you or me. We cannot hasten God's word. It is God that hastens his word. For I will hasten my word to perform it. God will. Let us bow our heads. We want to pray again tonight for Brother Nigel and the family, and any others maybe that's not feeling well tonight. And I know there's colds and flus going round, and some people aren't feeling too well. And we just pray the Lord will touch them this evening. And anyone listening in tonight, may the Lord touch you as well. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And we do come before you this evening in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, you'll cover us with your precious blood. Pray, Lord, you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you, Lord, you do. And I pray you'll help every one of us tonight. Pray especially for Brother Nigel and all of his family, that you'll touch them and minister to them and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. And for any others this evening that's laid aside sick or afflicted, may the Lord touch them and heal them. And we do pray most of all that you'll save all of our children. And those listening in tonight, if there's a man or a woman that's not saved, may you save them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your people now. Strengthen them. And do them good. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. Praise God. Just may be seated. God resuming total responsibility at Calvary. We know because of Adam's sin, sin came into the world because of one man's disobedience. The book of Romans tells us that. Because of one man's disobedience, sin came into the world. Now, Brother Laurie mentioned it this morning, and they were put out of the garden. And the most terrible picture in all of the Bible was Adam and Eve out of the garden. And man was away from God, and man was at a distance from God. But God, in order to bring us back into full communion and full fellowship, took upon himself the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came down to this earth to save mankind, to save sinners. And at the cross of Calvary, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he raised on the third day, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. And God resumed. He took back control of the devil at Calvary. And no matter what we look at in this world tonight, whether people talk about global warming and all the different things that's going on, and I don't understand it all, and I'm not even going to try to, but God's still in control. And there's nothing happening amiss. All these things has been foretold in the Bible. Wars and rumors of wars, still the end's not it. Earthquakes in divers places, pestilence. And we're seeing pestilence. These are the things foretold in the Word of God. Also it says that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And we know that man has a number, 666. But here the Lord's responsibility. He took responsibility, and responsibility is state or fact of being responsible, accountable. As for one's power. Now God is accountable for what his word says. People say, well, why didn't he get healed, or why didn't he get saved? Ask God. It's not the preacher's fault. If a man of God prays for somebody faithfully and he preaches faithfully, it's down to God to do it. Now you see, if it's not down to God, we'll run out tonight and we'll do it. But we can't do it. It's down to God to do it. And God has took responsibility, but man has a responsibility as well. A man and woman that's not saved, when they hear the gospel, have a responsibility what they will do with the gospel. What will you do with Jesus called Christ? That's their responsibility. If they follow as responsible people and they obey the word of God, they can be saved. But if they don't, they're lost. Now, man's not very responsible. We know that. But God is responsible. And you see, when you're working with man and working with God, you're working with two different things. For God is responsible. God is responsible for his word. God's word will not return void unto him. Therefore, he keeps his word. And we must also be responsible to God. As Christians, we must be responsible to God. We have a response to make to God. We heard about faith this morning and about the churn. It was a simple thing, but it was so profound. So true, but so simple. And how it works. You see, we can't change God's word. That's what happened in the beginning. The serpent beguiled Eve. He deceived her. He tricked her. He changed the word of God. As a brother said, your eyes will be open. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And he said, hath God said? God did say it. He didn't have to say, hath God said? God did say it. But the word of God was changed. Now God will not respond to the changed word. Because a changed word is not actually God's word. It's another word. But God will only respond to his own word. Because he's a responsible God. Broken words, a broken promise, it must always be according to the word. Then he is responsible for it. Turn over with me this evening to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we look from verse 13 down of Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There was nobody that God could swear to Abraham any greater than himself. God was the greatest he could swear by. God didn't swear by a prophet or some other man. God swore to Abraham by himself. In other words, Abraham, it's going to happen. There's nothing you have to do, Abraham.
It's like salvation. You'll never save yourself. Man has no power within himself to save himself. Some people might preach it, but they're antichrist. They're anti-word. That's what makes them antichrist. No man has any power within himself to save himself. Every one of us is lost and we need God's saving. Verse 14 says, Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So it goes on to say in verse 15, Abraham patiently endured. Verse 14, for men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation, as to them an end of all strife. Now look down with me to verse 18. That by two immutable things, the promise and the oath. That's your two immutable things, a promise and the oath. God made a promise to Abraham, and by an oath, he gave it to him. God made an oath, and he bound himself to that oath. You know, when I preached about the priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood, one of the main things about it was the Levitical priesthood came in without an oath, but Christ came in with an oath. You're bound to it. If you've took an oath in something, you can't break it. You can't change it. And God made a promise to Abraham and he took an oath that he would not break it or he wouldn't fail, and he didn't fail. And when it looked absolutely impossible, absolutely hopeless, God did it anyhow. And all Abraham had to do was believe God. And God wants us to believe him tonight. Believe him for your situation, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's in your home. You need to believe God. Now, no matter what it looks like, God can change it. God can do it, because his word can't fail. In Ezekiel 12, verse 25, it tells us that God keeps an eye on his own word. He watches over his word to perform it. God watches over it. You can't watch over God's word. You can't perform it. Maybe God will go out tonight and do it, but we can't. You know, we wouldn't last a week. We would hardly last a day, any of us. If it wasn't for the Lord, not one of us would be here tonight. Some of us that don't even believe what we're living. And I'm one of them, son. I don't even believe it, but living on this earth, if I hadn't turned and served God. And I never turned, it was his doing, not mine. And Abraham believed God, but God done it. God made the word good. God's a responsible God. God's not a God of failures. You know, there's a man, and a lot of people listen to him, and a lot of people tune in to him, but I would never do it. I'm not going to mention his name, but he made a statement. And thousands listen to him, an American evangelist. And he says, now I'll tell you the greatest failure. And he built the whole congregation up. There were thousands there. Then he dropped the bombshell. God's a failure, he said. Now you see, if I had been in the meeting, I would have took him down off the platform by the ear. And set him down, or else put him out the door. That's what should have happened. That man's a devil, for he's definitely not a servant of God. God cannot fail. How could you preach that God's the greatest failure? Man's the one that's failed, but God can't fail. We needed a Savior because we failed, but Christ never failed. He conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave. He couldn't fail. He knew no sin, he had no sin. Like one of the brothers here, I think, said he couldn't have sinned. For he was sinless. He was blameless. He was spotless. Son of God. I tell you, God never failed Abraham. God did not place the responsibility in somebody else. You know, there's a lot of Christians today, and they blame the pastor, they blame the elder, they blame the deacon, they blame the song leader, they blame anything at all, but they'll never blame themselves. God never put the responsibility on anybody else. He put the responsibility on himself. God made the promise. God swore. back and watch him doing it. That's how well he'll do it. God will do it. You know, I think it was my sister sent me a wee thing the other day. It's a quote from C.H. Spurgeon. She said, there's a lot of people looking for the perfect church. She said, they'll never find it till they're in heaven. Not just about it. Because if you want to pick fault, you can pick fault anywhere. You know, if you were to go and pick fault, there's a lot of fault. Abraham could have let go of a list of faults. Abraham could have said, now God, according to the doctor, I'm an old father. And according to the doctor, it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It's medically impossible for the Sarah to do this, what you're saying she's going to do. But Abraham, you don't read of him doing that. What you read is that Abraham believed God. And what you read is God kept his word to Abraham. 25 years passed. God didn't do it like click your finger. A lot of people want God click your finger like a wee, you know, servant boy. And God could do it right away for somebody. But Abraham waited 25 years and it looked more impossible, but God still done it. Abraham done the thing. God done the thing for Abraham because he is a responsible God. God cannot change, nor does word change. You know, the greatest revelation of every revelation is that God never changes. He never changes. Our brother Laurie mentioned it this morning when he preached that God cannot change. He fed the people. He done all the things for the people. But they still ridiculed him. But yet God never changed. He saved them. He opened the sea before them, even in their disobedience, even in the gainsaying. God still saved them. I hear so much talk, you know, that, you know, God will do this and he'll do that, more or less, you know, he'll wipe the whole lot out in the morning. Well, you see, if that was true, none of us would be here. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man and woman has sinned. We're living in the day of grace, but that day of grace is coming to an end. Coming to an end, and God is going to rapture his church, his true church. And they're going to leave this earth and they're going to go to him. How do you know it's going to happen? Because he swore by himself. The same one that swore to Abraham. He's given us the promise and he's done it with an oath and it's going to take place. Jesus Christ is coming again. He said in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, what did he say before all that? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You know what the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will be troubled. Men's hearts will feel them for fear for the things coming on the earth. But to the believer, God says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm a responsible God. I'll take care of you. God didn't change his mind. Two immutable things, unchangeable. The promise and the oath. Things in which it's impossible for God to lie. Immutable means unchangeable. We're working tonight, as Brother Laurie said, Almighty God. He's Almighty God. He's not just some wee fella. He's Almighty God. People talk about the devil. The devil's nothing to God. God made him. He made him. But God is Almighty God, all powerful. The one that spoke the world into being. Know what that word consolation says? It says, you see, if you read verse 18 and verse 19 of Hebrews. Let's read verse 19 of chapter 6. Which hope we have of an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, with anchors within the veil. And you see verse 18 that of Hebrews 6, that by two immutable things, the promise, the oath, in which is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. And consolation means to console. It's God that consoles you. It's God. You ever finally thrown the towel in? Nobody ever has.
telling you, see if you never has, you're no problem to the devil.
I'll tell you that, because if you're in the battlefield, you'll be at the battle. And he'll be at you. And that's the very sign of it. It's like the man said to the fella, he never knew he got saved till he got saved.
Or the devil never told him he wasn't saved till he got saved. Then when he got saved, the devil took the rest of the week, tell him, I wasn't saved. That's how he knew he was saved, because the devil's a liar.
Oh, aye. It's the same with the man of God that falls or something happens. And people's quick to talk about it. But what was the man? The man was on the front line. On the front line of the battle. And the Bible says, publish it not in God. How the mighty are fallen in battle.
God wants to console you tonight. He wants to comfort you. He wants to bless you. He wants to strengthen you.
You know what God said to Abraham when you read through Genesis 18? He said, Abraham, I am thy exceeding seed. I'm your great reward, Abraham. I am. I'm here tonight because of God. I'm here tonight because he consoled me. I'm here tonight because he protected me. I'm here tonight because he put his hand on me. You're here because he put his hand on you. The devil would have finished you, but God saved you. God protected you. God keeps you.
You say, how long will he keep him for, brother?
He says he's able to keep you and present you faultless before the Father. That's the God we serve.
Says to Abraham, I'm unchangeable, I'll console you, the responsible God.
It is very evident with the word of God here that God is responsible. Not only is God responsible, he's faithful. He's a faithful God. Faithful.
You know, I can tell you I'm going to do something.
Even the day I forgot about doing something. Never minded a thing about it. But I can tell you I'm going to do something, and it genuinely, it's not because I don't want to do it.
I could forget about it. You could forget about it. Do you know why? Because you're a man or a woman, and I'm just a...
But God's more than that. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's almighty God.
You know, when God gives you a word, he doesn't forget about it. He says he watches over it, and he's going to bring it to pass.
Sister, whatever the Lord said to you, should have been 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, God will do it.
You know, God gave me a scripture. When I started out, I set before you an open door. So many times over this last while, even Brother Laurie looked over here this morning at the door, and he quoted that scripture.
Sister Winifred, when we did our drive-in, came to me after one of the servants, says, Brother, just feel,
I have a verse I want to share with you. The Lord's put it on my heart, and it was the same scripture set before you, an open door. No man can close it.
You say you don't know the couple of people sitting the night saying, we'll finish him.
We'll sort him out. Did you know that Bonbridge is full of warlords? Now, if you don't know that, I'm telling you, but I'm sure some of you know warlords. But I'm going to tell you tonight, and I'm going to send a message to all the warlords round Banbridge and Brickton. I don't care where they are. The blood of Jesus Christ is more than enough to conquer them, every one of them.
Amen. All the witches came to Bunky's meetings, and they stopped every preacher that come. And the tent ripped and the tent tore apart and all sorts of things happened. But God gave Reinhard Bunke the power
and the protection that they couldn't stop. And they'd seen something on him. It was God that done it.
Do you ever hear the story of the family that went out to the part of Africa, a missionary family, and they deliberately sent them down to where the lions lie? And they come round the next morning to see their bones, but there was no bones.
Because God put a hedge of fire around them all night. And he protected them. My Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord.
God is a faithful God. A faithful God. Look at Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 9, and this is a prophecy concerning Emmanuel. A prophecy concerning the Lord himself. Let's just read it. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of its roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and shall judge after, he shall not judge after the sight or of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness, faithfulness, verse 5, faithfulness, the girdle of his reins, faithfulness. This is a faithful God, a faithful God. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear and feed your young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat their straw like the ox. And I know a lot of this is over in the millennium, I know that. But I want you to get the point that God's faithful. Right on down, you can read these scriptures. And this is about the Lord. If we remain faithful, he's faithful. God is faithful. Faithful till his word. Faithful till his promise. Because he's a responsible God. He's a faithful God. A responsible God. A faithful God. Let me go back and read to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. And I want to read from verse 1 to verse 8. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness till all generations. God is a faithful God. We heard about him this morning with Moses. God was faithful to Moses. Moses done a lot of things he shouldn't have done, you know. But God was still faithful. He smote the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. He broke the tablets because he seen what the people done, and God had to give him another set of 10 tablets. We know that. But God was still faithful. And you know, God brought the people out of Israel or out of Egypt with a strong hand. And there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. No children and the women didn't, you know, miss having their children. God blessed them. He was faithful. And even as you heard when he came to the Red Sea and they murmured and they wanted the garlic and all, Egypt, 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 we should go back down to Egypt. God didn't say to Moses, now when I tell you we think Moses, you need to do these 5 steps and then I'll open the sea. God didn't do none of that. God said, stand still. I'm going to do it. Or you couldn't do it anyway, Moses. But I'm going to do it. That's what God said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parted the Red Sea. Now I know you can have all your scientists and all your this and that, and they can tell you the wind come from this way or that. Look, all them theories, same as the ark, how did they feed them? How did they clean them out? How did they do this? How did they do that? All that figuring it out is no use because it limits God. You can't limit God. God made that water to go back. Now he might have used the wind. I don't know. He used the wind. But it was still God, wasn't it? Because who's over the wind? Who's the God that created the darkness? God. Who's the God that created the light? Same God. That's the truth. God done it. God rolled it back. And you know, a lot of people don't believe Noah's Ark. A man said to me recently about a woman, he said, you know, she doesn't believe that. She thinks it's just a story and she wants to figure out how he fed them and all. Well, he done it. Well, now here's one for her. And here's one for anybody. How did he feed them animals on the ark? How did he feed 5,000 with white lunch? How did he feed 7,000 in another place to the boys' lunch? How did he take 12 baskets remaining in one place, and the 12 represents the Jewish people, number 12, and 7 in another?
was the same size as he let a man down through the roof in a basket. How did he do it?
They all want to know how he done it. God healed somebody tonight, and you start to, how did he do it? But like the brother said about this chair, how did he do it? He done it because he's God. That's the end of it.
That's how simple it is. God!
In the beginning. God said, light came forth. God said, the earth came forth. God said, God. Because he's a faithful God. Verse 2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. In the heavens. Faithfulness. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For whom the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. God is faithful. He's a faithful God, and he's responsible. You know, they say a dog's a faithful thing. Do you ever see any of them wee films from years ago? There used to be some great wee films.
You ever seen any of them wee films with the wee dog? And when the master died, the dog would go to his grave and lay on it. He was faithful. Wouldn't leave it. He'd go to the graveyard. That's just a dog. But you think of God. Now come on this evening.
The word of God says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be with thee to the end. That's the word of God. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again.
We're to comfort other with that.
The Lord's coming. And the Lord's faithful. If we remain faithful, he will be faithful, because he's a responsible God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy tonight. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, chapter 7. Deuteronomy's a wonderful book. You know, I never realized the blessings of Deuteronomy till some years ago I began to study it, and Leviticus as well, and the books of Moses. You can preach the gospel from them. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 to 9. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose ye, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And God's remembered his people, what he done for Abraham. And God's remembered his people, what he done in Egypt. God remembers them. Then God says to us, put the children in remembrance of these things, that I'm a faithful God. Oh, you know that we would return to the old paths. Look at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments till 1,000 generations. You say that was for the days of Abraham, but 1,000 generations,
it's for us today. God is faithful.
The first time you bent your knee, the first time you said, Lord, will you come into my heart and save you?
God was faithful. He heard you. He heard you the first time.
He took you at your word. For he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is an end time promise. People talk about an end time message. People talk about an end time truth. This must be the greatest one. The word of God says in the book of Joel, the book of Acts, and the book of Romans and Revelations, it shall come to pass.
will save whoever will come.
He's faithful. Faithful to keep his word.
Look over me with 1 Corinthians this evening. And I'm going to close in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ.
Now, let me go back. 4 to 9, yes.
That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind him no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
God is faithful. Verse 9.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto fellowship of a Son, even Christ Jesus our Lord.
God is faithful.
He called you unto the fellowship of a Son. I'm going to go over to Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Who's going to keep you from evil?
The Lord.
Now think how we started here with this message tonight. We showed that it was God that said to Abraham, I'm going to do it. It was God that gave him the word. It was God that made the oath. It was God that said, I'll do it. All he asked Abraham to do was believe. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him
for righteousness. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
That's what we had tonight. Imputation means
an impartment. You know, there's people talk about imparting a gift.
And they go and lie over some man of God's grave. And they lay on it. And then you'll go into their meeting and you wouldn't believe the people that run after this type of stuff. They'll impart to you.
They call it an impartment meeting where they can impart to you something.
The only one that can impart anything to you is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. The Lord. Now God can use a man to pray for you. We believe that. But I'll be lying over nobody's grave
to get an impartation. That's called the spirit of necromancy.
That's forbidden in the Bible. You're not even to contact the dead. It's forbidden in the Word of God. It's against the Word of God. That's why the Church of Rome works priestcraft. That's why it's priestcraft. Because they contact the dead. They work the spirit of necromancy. And have loads of lovely Catholic friends. But that's wrong. Then the priest reoffers Christ. Christ can never be reoffered.
He was offered up once for all.
And remember our beginning. God is faithful.
He won't offer himself again. For he was offered once. He never can be offered again.
The one work done it. It was enough.
I don't need to have a wee statue of some saint that I come through that saint to get to Jesus.
I want to tell you this evening that I have a direct line to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I need no badge of a saint. I need no plaque or picture of any other man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is enough for me.
I need no other.
I believe there's been great men of God. I believe there's been wonderful women. You know that.
I respect them. I would mention them. Even quote what they said. But I never pray to one of them. Because there's not one of them ever shed their blood for me on a cross. And if they had of, it would have been no use. For they were all born sinners. But Jesus Christ was not born a sinner. His blood is unique blood. His blood is special blood. His blood is the blood of God himself, flowing in his veins, incorruptible.
for me tonight. It speaks for you.
Not only does it speak for you and speak for me, but God hears it. God hears the voice of the blood. Hallelujah! And God answers to the voice of the blood.
Abel's blood cried from the thorns.
Abel's blood cried when he was slain by Cain. It cried for vengeance. It cried for judgment. But Jesus' blood shed from the from the thorny bride.
It cried to God.
And it cried for mercy. And it cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I know I've mentioned it many times, the comparison and the contrast with Abel and Christ. Both were shepherds.
But one lost his life
as a sacrificer, and his life was took from him. But one had his life
offered up. He offered it himself. It never was took from him.
You can't blame the Jews for killing Jesus.
Because Jesus says, I must go up to Calvary.
He said he set his face as a flint to go up. He says, for this reason
came I into the world. As Noah was 3 days in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
But he'll raise up on the third day. Christ died, and God raised him from the dead. God is a faithful God. You know, I want to read Colossians, and I'm going to close this evening. I often quote this scripture from Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. And here's what it says. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I'm going to tell you a wee thing. You see this verse? This is the very verse that James McConnell preached from almost 30 years ago when our Philip conceived after that service. This is the verse. And I've never forgot that verse. That's his verse that night. And he preached and he emphasized, you were made by him and you were made for him. God's a purpose for you.
And it was a wonderful message.
Wonderful message. Verse 17 said, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is the key, consist. The word consist means maintain. I don't care how much global warming there is, or ice melting, or ice freezing. Nothing's going to happen to God's decides. And I don't care if the 50 planes or a million planes and all the buses running in diesel or petrol. It'll make no difference, none of it, to God decides. God has a time for everything. There's a time to weep, there's a time to cry,
there's a time to laugh, time to rejoice. God has a time.
Many years ago when I was starting out, a fellow said to me, the Lord will come the next few years. I says, he won't. Says, how do you know? Because I says, you said he will, so he's not. It's as simple as that. No man. No man knows the day and the hour. Only the Father.
Jesus is coming, but nobody knows when.
Now we can say we're in the season. We believe that. When you'll see the fig tree putting forth and all the other trees, and the fig tree's Israel. She became a nation in 1948, 46, 48, whatever date you want. I wouldn't fall out me over it. Some's 46, some's 48. It's a bit like the seas. But it'll make no difference to me whether it's 48 or 46. All I know is their nation.
Amen.
But there's one thing I know, God's in control. And I'll tell you another thing too, God's not late in coming.
The Lord should have been here years ago. You know, if we as a church waken up and start to do what God tells us to do, the Lord will come in a week.
Nonsense. You can wake up and hang around rafters. and not bring them 1 minute sooner.
That's all nonsense. God knows when he's coming.
He knows when he's coming. And there's no man or no woman can bring him sooner or stop him either.
He's coming when he's coming. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you tonight.
What the Bible says, the coming of the Lord draweth now. He's coming soon. The Lord's coming soon. You know the thing we need to be is ready.
The warning is, be ready. For he cometh in a day you think not. In an hour you think not. The Lord will come.
But we need to be ready. God's faithful. Faithful. My friend, tonight God's faithful till his word.
Now don't misunderstand me this evening. I'm not saying we shouldn't be about the Father's business.
I believe we should be. Do all we can. The fact that God leads a man to take wee meetings and preach the gospel, that's God's doing.
God does that to that man. That God leads him to do that. Pray for him. All of us should take every opportunity. That's my advice.
Every opportunity you get, take it. The devil doesn't need a second chance. He'll take a swipe at you.
Isn't that right? Every opportunity you get, take it for the Lord.
But it's God that's in control. God is the one promised you. God's the one that made the oath.
God's faithful. Let's stand our feet tonight. Maybe there's somebody listening in this evening. Maybe you're thinking, oh, the Lord hasn't answered me. The Lord's let me down. The Bible says, before you call, he'll answer you. God is faithful. He's faithful. If you're faithful to the Word of God, God will be faithful to you. I would encourage you tonight, if you blame God, you need to ask him to forgive you. You need to ask God to forgive you. There's people, they blame God. They fall out with God. Who are we to fall out with God? The Bible says Jacob was but a worm before God. I thank God tonight for his faithfulness. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If you would want prayer this evening, lift your hand up to the Lord. If someone watching needs prayer, I want you to believe God, and I pray this evening that God will work in your situation. If you're not saved, you need to get right with God. The Lord could come and you'd be left behind. Left behind. For a time, look, this COVID's nothing to what's coming. There's a time called the Great Tribulation coming on this earth. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. We know you're a faithful God. Father, I pray for the hands that's raised. Lord, that you'll make good your promise to that dear brother, to that dear sister, to that dear boy, to that dear girl. Lord, we know that you haven't called us to the flowery bed of ease. But your word says, take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. I pray, Lord, this evening you'll add to your work such as should be saved. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll get all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your faithfulness. That you assume full and total responsibility at Calvary. Pray for the brethren over in England that ask for prayer. Pray you'll meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for a brother over in Germany, Brother Joseph, that you'll meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for our sister Linda and her husband Robert in America. Lord, that you'll touch them and meet the need in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for those that's here in this room and those listening in our own country. Lord, that you'll meet every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Your brother comes. Don't forget our Thursday night prayer and Bible study. And maybe this Thursday. I want to give a bit more time to pray in, and I won't be preaching maybe so much. And
somebody has a topic, a study that you'd like to hear, want you to let me know, or one of the brothers, something maybe, you know, you're thinking about, they never preach on it or something, and we'll try and do that. And don't forget, Brother Gary will be on Wednesday night as well with Margaret Hill. Then this Saturday night, I've been asked to share my testimony in CWU Hall in Lisburn. Pray for us. If you can't get, pray for the service. And you was talking to a man yesterday that's going to come from down there. I used to work with some fellas around the Lisburn area. You know, if somebody could see him, it's all worth it. The Lord bless each one.
As an evil course, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.